Tom Dugan, playwright and actor, plays the role of Simon Wiesenthal, the famous Nazi hunter.
Happy to be with you this morning.
When I first saw Wiesenthal, the play, I thought, well, obviously Wiesenthal, it must be written and acted by a Jew, but most of the Dugans I know are Irish Catholic. So what's going on here?
I am indeed Irish Catholic. I come to the play, the subject matter, pretty honestly. I think my father was a liberator. He received the Bronze Battle Star in World War II, as well as the Purple Heart. He liberated a camp called Langenstein in Germany. And I grew up with the stories of what it was like for him as a 19, 20-year-old to see such things and to be, participate in these unbelievable expressions of the worst of humanity. And as I said, I'm Irish Catholic, but later, about now 26 years ago, I met and married my wife, Amy Opel, and we now have two beautiful Jewish boys, one who's going to be making his bar mitzvah in a month.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So the combination of my father's participation in World War II and my current life as a welcomed outsider in a Jewish community makes writing and performing Wiesenthal a comfortable fit for me.
My gosh, he was just a teenager. Your dad, did this, I guess the expression is, scar him for life? Or how did he deal with this?
Well, like so many veterans, he didn't speak of this stuff for a long time. Yeah, it affected him. I know that when he was a younger man, that the shrapnel that he carried in his hip, they'd be watching TV and they'd have to, my father would say, get out the tweezers, because a piece of shrapnel had worked its way to the surface. My mother had the peroxide and would pull out another piece of German shrapnel and put a bandage on the wound. But the positive psychological effects was to really have an empathy for the downtrodden, really have an understanding of humanity. I asked him one time, I said, well, Dad, you carry around shrapnel. You must hate Germans. And he said, I absolutely do not hate Germans. I don't judge people. I don't judge people by what group they belong to. I judge them by how they behave. And I didn't get that when I was a kid. I didn't quite understand it. Years later, I was reading about Wiesenthal and his rejection of collective guilt. And that's when a light bulb went on in my head. And I realized that's what my father was talking about so many years ago. And that's what led me to write the play Wiesenthal.
So to establish for our listeners who aren't familiar with Simon Wiesenthal, one nickname is the Jewish James Bond. He devoted his life to bringing more than 1,100 Nazi war criminals to justice.
But Wiesenthal's life and his legacy is not about the past. It's most certainly about the future. And that's why I was excited about creating the play, because I speak to audiences, and the audience is a part of the play. They are represented in the script as the last group of students that visit Wiesenthal in his Jewish Documentation Center in Vienna. And so I speak directly to the audience as the character, and it really it gives the audience a real sense of participation. Not that they're asked to talk or anything, but they really feel like they have a stake in the plot. And there is a plot, by the way. It's not a lecture. It is a theatrical event where there's a beginning, a middle, an end, and a great urgency. The show is appropriate, I would say, for kids 12 and up. I've done the show for hundreds and hundreds of high school students, college students, and of course, grown-ups as well. You don't have to know anything about the Holocaust in order to enjoy this play. And I do say enjoy the play, because it is an entertainment. It's not a lecture. And you can be an expert in the Holocaust and enjoy the play. You can be a novice about all things World War II and still understand and enjoy the play. Well, I'll tell you, the statute of limitations for these crimes was about to run out, and Wiesenthal enlisted the help of the then Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, and he was helpful in the cause of making sure that there would be no statute of limitations for these criminals. And his quote was something to the effect of, there is no statute of limitations for morality. It was Wiesenthal and his best friend and lawyer, Martin Rosen. They were instrumental in getting the statute of limitations lifted, I believe it was in the late 60s, so that these war criminals, and any war criminals, not just the ones from World War II, will never rest easy. And the reason for that is to let the criminals of the future realize that if they make this choice, if they go down this dark path of murder, that they are committing their entire life to being a fugitive. Wiesenthal's work was about tomorrow, was about the minds of the young people. And I'm proud to be, even in a theatrical way, carrying on that education process. And I've gotten a thumbs up from many of Wiesenthal's co-workers, his family, his friends. So I feel like I'm helping the cause.
Did Simon Wiesenthal have anything to do with the Holocaust centers? I know there's one in Washington, D.C.
There's the Simon Wiesenthal Center here in Los Angeles that is run by Rabbi Marvin Heyer. And they were separate institutions, Wiesenthal's Documentation Center and the Wiesenthal Center, in the late 60s or actually early 70s. Wiesenthal had there was a Holocaust survivor from Scandinavia who anonymously donated enough money for him to keep his documentation center going. That's where he did all of his Nazi hunting from. It's a modest office on the wrong side of the tracks in Vienna, and that's where the play takes place. When the survivor, who was his benefactor, passed away, Wiesenthal, never took a salary for what he did, but there were expenses that need to be met. And that's when he made an agreement with Marvin Heyer to lend his name to the Museum of Tolerance. And so now we have this enormous organization in Los Angeles called the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Even though Wiesenthal himself was, it was a separate institution.
So where did this Jewish James Bond nickname come from?
Well, he started getting publicity for doing his work in the 1960s when James Bond, of course, was just beginning real popularity in the movies. And the concept of uncovering the false names and following the evidence toward the secret lairs of these criminals was really a mundane practice. It was just extremely tedious work. And Wiesenthal understood that in order to maintain the interest of the public, he had to sex things up a little bit. So I don't think he came up with the idea of the Jewish James Bond, but he didn't discourage it because it brought attention to his work, even though his work was mostly just sitting on the phone or waiting in a hallway for someone to see him.
And we probably should point out to our younger listeners, this was long before the internet. You couldn't just sit there and Google search people.
Today, we could look up a year's worth of his work in an afternoon.
Tom Dugan, this is not your first rodeo. I think people ought to know that, too. Have written a number of solo plays. I'll list a couple and then ask you about one or two. Oscar to
okay.
Oscar, Lee at Appomattox, Frederick Douglass in The Shadow of Slavery, The Ghost of Mary Lincoln, and Jackie, the Jacqueline Kennedy story that is going to premiere next year. You like the idea of a one-man play. By the way, is it a 90-minute without intermission, or how does it present?
Yeah, Wiesenthal is presented. It's a little shy of 90 minutes with no intermission, and then I go out and change out of my costume, take off my makeup, and I come out for a talk back after every performance, which they've become quite popular.
After every performance?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, people seem to really enjoy the fact that although I'm 54 years old, I go a long way to create the illusion of Wiesenthal, who is in his early 90s when the play takes place. And I've got a full head of hair, but I shave the top of my head to play the part. It grows back. And I do about an hour's worth of makeup. I have a fat suit that I've had created for underneath the costume. And I studied with a dialect coach. And with also, of course, with the director, Jenny Sullivan, we've created a realistic depiction of someone who's well into their 90s. And so after I'm done with the performance, I get off all that stuff and I come bounding out on the stage, and people are usually get a big kick out of the difference.
That's great. Wow. 54, two performances on Saturday and Sunday, each with a talk back. You are energetic.
I actually have, over a period of 4 days, and I've never done this before, I have 8 performances. But I'll tell you, Wiesenthal has given back to me so much more than everything. And the places I've been, the people I've met, has been a fascinating journey. I mean, I was doing the show. By the way, Wiesenthal was a stand-up comedian before the war. And so his personality is charming, and in the audience gets quite surprised that they spend so much of the evening laughing, because he's an entertaining guy. So it's not a depressing play. But back to your point, which at one of the talkbacks, a girl stood up and she was very upset. She was about 20 years old, and she wanted to know if this Holocaust thing really happened. And I said, yes. Why do you ask? She said, well, my parents told me it was a big exaggeration. And I said, why do you think your parents would tell you something like that? She said, oh, because my great-grandfather was Adolf Eichmann.
Okay, that's a moment.
Sure was.
And how did you handle that, Professor?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful night in the theater. People who were there, when they see me, it happened in Los Angeles. They come up to me and they said, they always said, I was there that night and I know what they're talking about. And it was fascinating, because what was happening in the here and now, right at that moment in the theater, was the rejection of collective guilt, because everyone was repulsed by her presence initially. And then we all had to calm down and realize that this girl did nothing wrong. And to her credit, she had come to the theater to learn more. So we all calmed down, and we asked her some questions, which she didn't have too many answers to. But it was fascinating for all of us to go away from the concept of collective guilt and actually live in the reality of the rejection of collective guilt. So it was a brilliant night.
We're looking forward to your arrival in Buffalo. Tom Dugan, playwright and actor, been in a number of television shows, Bones, Friends, Curb Your Enthusiasm, a number of movies, Kindergarten Cop, Dave, and a few others as well. You've been on a PBS theater close-up special hosted by Blythe Danner, and you've written a number of one-act plays, but wow, we're going to get Wiesenthal. And again, performances start March 17th, Thursday night at 7:30 at 710 Main. That's the name of the theater and the address. Friday at 8, Saturday at 2 and 8, and Sunday at 2 and 7. Tom Dugan, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.